Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Destiny of Humanity. The devil is a poser in the sense that he never does anything original. Everything he does is a reaction to something that God does. The Lord intended for Abraham and his descendants to live in Canaan, and Satan immediately set out to derail God's plan for the promised land by sending hordes of evil spirits to corrupt the people through idol worship and debauchery. Nevertheless, God allotted a certain amount of grace, nearly 600 years, until the Israelites invaded, and Joshua was instructed to kill every demon-possessed man, woman, and child in Canaan. This was necessary because the pagans had reached the point where every imaginable sin was a daily occurrence, and there was no longer any redemption for them. God did not select another strong leader to take over after Joshua died, and the Israelites became decentralized, and the invasion of the Promised Land ended in sin and immorality. This message is entitled, Victory to Anarchy. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life with Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be speaking today on the subject, Victory to Anarchy. And this message is a downer in one way. But we need to see what we're up against. I read an article, actually it was a news article, this week, that there are a number of companies that have got into the business of shipping. When there is a market, business will flow in. This is capitalism. And there is a number of factories and insurance companies and other businesses that simply saying this, we have a lot of ID problems, we got a lot of identity theft, we need to control things better, and we want our people working for us to be chipped. This is a Swedish company that is leading the chipping industry, and they are simply gearing up. And they're looking at some of the bigger corporations that will simply pay for their employees to have a chip. And what they will do is this, it will be mandatory. They would say, if you want to work for our company, this is a policy. We want you to be chipped and so that we can control you. And you will not have any ID problems. So it is now, this is a thought that's being accepted worldwide. And so I have been predicting this for years, that when the Antichrist comes, for him to simply have a chip is not going to be a big deal, because chipping will be, would you call it, not really natural, but it will be common at the time of the Antichrist. And no one will think about it. This company said, you know, the chip is very small. It only takes 10 seconds to insert it. We have a special needle gun, and you just open up, you just put it down. It's almost painless. And you don't even know that you have a chip in your hand. Well, we're going to talk about with Joshua taking the promised land. It's going to show us how things are going to be in the time of the end times. And so, with that as the background, a lot of people say, well, where are you going with this series? Well, I'm trying to share with you man's destiny from time of Adam and Eve to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, but he came 2,000 years ago. So now we're going to go back 4,000 years and talk about the promised land. Abraham had arrived in the land of Canaan some 2,030 years after the creation of Adam and Eve. So Abraham arrived in the land of Canaan about 2,000 years after Adam and Eve. It was a beautiful place with lush forest, grazing land. There was plenty of water from the rain and natural springs. Canaan at that time was not heavily populated, and Abraham was able to move around with his household, consisting of more than 1,000 persons and huge flocks of cattle, sheep, horses, and camels. And God told Abraham, this beautiful land is going to be an inheritance for your children to come. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 13, verse number 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look for the place where you are northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you seize, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in length, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar unto the Lord. God promised Abraham, this land is going to be for your descendants. And it's going to be, it is a beautiful land. What God did not tell Abraham was that they had to fight for it. You and I have a promised land. You're promised when you get saved that the Holy Spirit will come and live within you. You're born again. The angels are watching over you, God's holy angels. And we have a promised land here on earth, but then we have a promised land in eternity. But you know, when we got saved, we're not living in paradise. We have to fight to take our promised land. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 15 and verses 13 and on. And God said to Abraham, know for surety that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, they shall afflict them for 400 years. He told Abraham now, your offspring will go to a different country. They'll be there for 400 years. And eventually they will be afflicted, become slaves. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God said, I will give the Amorites, the Canaanites, time. I will give them time. Four generations. He turned out more than 400 years. Satan knew what God was going to do. You got to understand that Satan will contest you every time. If you got a new job, he will contest that. If you try to buy a new house, he will contest that. If you try to educate yourself, he will contest that. He will contest your business. He simply wants to do everything he can to disrupt your life, to make it miserable, to make your life painful. And he will try to destroy what God wants to do with you. That's what he's done for 4,000 years. That's what he did before the flood, for 1,600 years. And he will do it after the 1,000-year kingdom. The devil is stupid. He doesn't understand. The more evil he does, the more he will suffer in the lake of fire. The only thing I can reason is that he thinks if he can stack enough people into hell, that God will change his mind and say, there are too many people there. I can't do it. I got to change. I got to give him another chance. That's the only logical explanation I have why the devil keeps fighting. It was 546 years for the death of Abraham after the calling of Moses. I want you to see that the God works on long term. 546 years after Jesus talked to Abraham and said, this land is going to be your land. I'm going to give it to your descendants. It took 546 years when Joshua showed up with the people of Israel. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. And we pick it up in verse 40 and 41. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out for the land of Egypt. God instructed Moses to exterminate the Canaanites. Now, this might sound harsh. Does not God love everyone? Yes, he does. He loves all people. But he's a God of judgment. And there comes a time when the judgment will fall. If you read for Deuteronomy chapter 7, we read the following, first five verses. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land when you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater mightier than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them, utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter, you shall not give it to his son, nor his daughter shall you take it to your son. For they will turn your son from following me, that he may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. Amen. Harsh. God said, these people have been there for 40 years. They are contaminated. Men, women, and children. I can't redeem them. I have no other option but to exterminate them, because they will pollute you. Amen. Let me say something here that might not be politically correct, but I believe that this is truth. When God scattered the people from Babylon, there were different races created. I believe the races came because of the different climates and so on, but however God did, we all come from Noah and his three sons. But we have American Indians in North and South America and Central America. And they developed here, they had the same opportunity in North and South America as the people had in the Middle East, in Europe, China, Africa. Africa sank into idolatry. China, Japan sank into idolatry. Christianity moved into Europe after Christ. And things began to develop. The American Indians brought with them paganism from where they came from. And they were praying to gods. They called the Great Spirit. But they had sacrifices. They had demon gods. They got delved into the occult. The Aztecs had human sacrificing. There were wars between the tribes living in North and South America. There was no peace here. There was slavery. It was a cutthroat society. And the American Indians never discovered the wheel. I want you to think about this. They did not have the wheel. So they could not have wagons. And they would have their animals draw things. They would have simply poles. They would tie to the end. They didn't have horses either. And that's how they would carry things around. They were here for thousands of years. God simply said this. He talked to the pilgrims. He said, I'm going to take the pilgrims. I'm going to take some people from England, the Puritans. They got a revival. They want to build my kingdom. They want to do something on earth. I'm going to take them and build a nation of them. And they came here to North America. The Indians had to be removed. Some of the Indians accepted Christ. But there was this statement, manifest destiny, that they had from the very beginning, all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And I believe that God allowed the American Indians to be, some of the tribe got destroyed. They got moved and uprooted. Their altars and worship got destroyed. And I believe there was a punishment. They had the opportunity for thousands of years to seek the Lord. But they sank into idolatry. Just like the Buddhists, the Hindus, people in Africa. And this is why the United States of America was founded as a Christian nation. God simply had a purpose. He still has a purpose for this nation. And this is exactly what he did in the Promised Land. Let's talk about entering the Promised Land. Now, when the forefathers came, 1600s and 1700s to America, a lot of them died. With Indian wars, starvation, as it expanded, it was not a cakewalk. It was hard work. Hard work. And only those that were strong survived. They built the factories, the cities, the farms. Hard work. And God blessed America. In Joshua chapter 1, the tragedy now is that the United States is paralleling Israel in this way. That eventually we will come into anarchy and destruction, just like Israel. And we are right now in the between times. We have risen. We saw a move of God in the election of 2016. We see the rollback. But in the 2018 election, We saw Satan come back with a vengeance. And now they're trying to undo everything that was done. To go back to the abortion, the killings, the homosexuality, all the filth. We're the battle. In Joshua chapter 1, we read this. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And therefore arise, go to this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said to Moses. For the wilderness and this Lebanon, even the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as it was with Moses. So will I be with you. I will not fail you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people shall you divide for the heritage the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be you strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all law, which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Having I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be you dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you, whithersoever you go. This is the promise that God gave to Joshua. He said, I'm going to put this in this land. This land is full of people that have sinned. I'm going to have you to exterminate them. You have to get rid of them. And you got to get rid of all of them, or they will contaminate you. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. You pick it up from verse number 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He made a curse for us. With written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. We now have to go in and take the land. Some people have understood that we are no longer under the curse. But we got to go in and possess the land. We got to break the curses in our lives. They are ours to break. If you don't break the curses, they're still there. When Joshua came with the people, they could not simply say, okay, we're just going to walk in. Hey, Canaanites, you go this way. We're going to take this. We're going to take that. We're just going to divide it up. It didn't work. God said, you destroyed them. They are a curse. You cannot cohabit. Destroy them. And you and I, to take our promised land, must begin by breaking the curses. You and I are cursed. There's a what you call the bastard curse, 10 generations. That God said, if there's someone born under wedlock, conceived under wedlock, there's a 10-generation curse. You don't know what's in your bloodline going back for 700 years. There are generational curses. There are curses you invoked upon yourself. And just because you got saved does not mean that these curses are gone. They are destroyed as far as the land is concerned. But you got to go in and possess the land. You got to break the curses. And then if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and you read this in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are evil spirits all around us. There are demonic forces continually. And if we ignore them, if we simply do not take dominion over them, they will destroy you and they will take you down. Do you realize, I have said this Sunday after Sunday, and I really want again to emphasize this. I want you to hear me now. This is statistics. Statistics coming in from Christian researchers. 60% of all Christian pastors in America are hopelessly addicted to pornography. Every week, these pastors will view pornographic material. They will masturbate. They will wallow in their sins. And Wednesday night, they will lead prayer meeting. Sunday morning, they stand and preach in their pulpits. And they are struggling with sin. A large number of men and women in the churches in America today are hopelessly addicted to pornography. This is worse than drugs and alcohol. Because what it does is, it's a sin that you commit in secrecy. And it leads to masturbation, which is homosexuality. And that means that people get loaded down with demons. Have you noticed this? Pastors are committing suicide. Pastors' families are breaking up. Churches are not doing good. We are weak. We have not understood. We are in the promised land, but we have not cleared the land of sin. We have not cleared out the demons. The Canaanites are still here with us as we do deliverances. Now, when I bring in new people, I tell them that you're going to hear stuff that you can, it's going to be unbelievable. You cannot believe it. But when you do deliverance and people come to you for help, you realize how deep in sin men and women and boys and girls have fallen. It's a deep, stinking trench. But you see, in church, they don't talk about it. You put on a nice clothing. It's a hallelujah smile. Big Bible carrying in. How are you doing, brother? Oh, glory to God, I'm doing fine. You're a liar. They're not doing fine. They're hurting. You got a bunch of people, liars, going to church on Sunday morning and lying to one another. Each one struggling with his own sins. And how do we address this? You got to simply begin to preach. We got to repent. And we cannot have hidden sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to pick it up from verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down every imagination against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We do not war after the flesh. We have spiritual weapons. And we need to cast down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Some of you cyber members, that are watching us, either live or listening to us. You're struggling with pornography. Some of you are struggling with alcohol. Some of you are struggling with drugs. Some of you are on legal pain medication. Can't get off it. It's a lot of things. You don't talk about it. Some of you are struggling with gambling. And you got to recognize you are bound by evil spirits. You have devils living in your body. Devils controlling your soul. And that's why you cannot get set free. Achan, we talked about that last week. He simply did not obey. He took out a gold and silver. He got contaminated. And he had to be exterminated. And God told him to execute him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 19, I want to show you that Satan held the promised land. What say I then? That the idol is anything, that which is offered, is sacrificed, that is anything? But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I will not, you shall have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? When they have pagan worship, you have demons, evil spirits that are gathering, strongholds. The evil spirits that were here during the time of the American Indians are still in this country today. They are still affecting us that are living here now. We have to deal with them. In deliverances, I've come against some of those demons of Indians that Indians had. They're powerful, manifesting. They're very evil. It's destructive. If you go to Israel today, the political state of Israel, you will find that Israel is one of the vilest countries in the world. Tel Aviv is actually worse than San Francisco, Los Angeles, or any other place. The Sodomites control Tel Aviv. Israel is importing thousands of young women from the Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, some of these eastern countries that came out from communism, where they have a poor economy. They can't make a living. And they are importing, and simply they have recruiting people there, saying, we will have very nice jobs in Israel. You will be working there. You can work at restaurants or so. You get education. You can start a new life. And when they bring them down to Israel, they take their passports, put them in whorehouses, beat them up, break them down, and run them as whores until they are useless and burned up when they trash them and kill them. There are tens of thousands of prostitutes roaming the street to Tel Aviv from these different countries. Young women, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. No future. The same evil spirits that had the Canaanites took down Israel 4,000 years ago. They're still there in the land today. Let me take it to Daniel chapter 10 here as we quickly move here through this message. Some of you had not really understood the demonic activities. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. This is the angel speaking. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for to you am I not sent. When he had spoken his word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that you did set your heart to the stand, and to chasten yourself for your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Persia was a country, was actually a kingdom, an empire. It had a fallen angel, Greek, an archon, a prince. Every nation has a fallen angel, a very high-ranking angel that followed Satan. Those angels are in charge of that nation. Under them you have principalities, powers, rulers in the darkness, all the way down to evil spirits, demons, or devils. The principalities, the fallen angels, are in the air. The evil spirits are the foot soldiers. They are simply on the ground, possessing us. And every day, you have to wade through hordes of demons. And they will discourage you. They try to put sickness on you, depression upon you. They try to trip you up. They try to destroy your business. They are everywhere. And so as a Christian, there is a spiritual warfare. But most Christians do not understand that, do not take dominion, and they are simply buffeted left and right, and we are succumbing. You have to exterminate. Why do you think, how would you really think this morning with me? We had President George Bush, Senior, Junior. The Democrats didn't really like them. But there was no hate. Now, when we had Clinton in and Obama, those of us that are conservative, Republicans or independent, we didn't hate them. We disliked them. But we did not go out and burn things on the streets. We didn't go out and resist. We didn't go out, and do a lot of damage. We didn't go to the homes of people in offices and disrupt them in restaurants and, defile them. We didn't do that. But have you noticed this? The moment President Trump, the moment Donald Trump said he's going to run, even the Republicans' party said, we don't want that man. You remember, Barack Obama said, he's not going to be elected. The American people know better than that. Remember you heard those words? Remember the hate? Well, you had George Bush Sr. go out and say, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton. The hate. It's just oozing around us. Why is it? Is it because Trump is Trump? No. It's because behind him stands the Holy Ghost, holy angels. God raised this man up to simply say, enough is enough, to clean up the swamp, to change the Supreme Court, to pull us back to a biblical view type of living. That's what the hate is. Have you got to understand? We got to fight. Now in Joshua chapter 10, and some of these verses you're going to have to read, follow the outline. And I want you to see to thinking that you got to have. Joshua chapter 10, verse number 28. And that day Joshua took Machkedah and smote them with the edge of the sword. And the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them, and all the souls that were there. He let none remain. And he did to the king of Machkedah as he did to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Machkedah, and all Israel with him unto Libnah, and fought against Libnah. And the Lord delivered it also in the kingdom of Ophi into the hand of Israel. He smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did into the kingdom of Ophi as he did to the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libnah, and all Israel with him unto Lachish, encamped against it, fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel. We took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that was done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish. Joshua smote him and his people, as if he had let none remaining. And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they camped against it and fought against it. And they took it on a day, and smote it with the edge of the sword. And all the souls that were therein, he utterly destroyed that day, according to what he had done to Lachish. And you go out and read that chapter. Now, I want you to think about this. Joshua and his soldiers came in. They took the city. They lined the people up. They simply took the men, their women, their children, their babies. They killed everyone, 100%. God told them, exterminate them. Not because they were bad in itself, but they had been contaminated. They were not redeemable. They could not be redeemed. And God wanted to clear the land so that he could have a land where he could bring the Redeemer. In our lives, we don't kill people, but we got to eradicate sin from our lives. This is ethnic cleansing. You heard about ethnic cleansing. God is in the business of ethnic cleansing. God killed everyone except for 8 people during the Noah's worldwide flood, 600 million people. God annihilated everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah except for Lot and his 2 daughters. God ordered Joshua to exterminate all the people living in Canaan. The problem now they had was they did not obey completely. And I want to read to you from Joshua 13:13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Makarathites, but the Geshurites and the Makarathites dwell among the Israelites unto this day. They left them there. When we do deliverance, we tell people, you got to line up with God. You got to give up all pagan idolatry. You got to give up all sinful acts. You cannot continue to fornicate, commit adultery, do pagan worship. You cannot do that if you want to be free from demons. And people says, well, you know, we always had that custom. We always had this or that, you know. And people are dripping when it comes to Christmas. I mean, sentimental like crazy. And they say, well, we just can't give it up. You know, it's too precious to us. God's simply saying this. It's all or nothing. If you don't clean house, the demons will come in. One of the things that we fight people with when we do deliverance is tithing. Now, in Malachi, God has simply stated this, that to his people, if you do not tithe, if you give not 10% of your income to God on a regular basis, there's a curse. Matter of fact, God said, you are a thief. You are stealing from me. And you're cursed with a curse. So we talk to people, they say, well, that's a lot of money. Well, if you tithe, God will bless you. You can do more with 90% than with 10% if you kept that. So some people, they start tithing. But then, you know, they begin to look at the money and they can't pay this or that, you know, so they go off and say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then they wonder, why is the car breaking down? Why did I lose my job? Why I'm getting sick? Why are these different things happening? And the answer is, God simply says, okay, if you're going to sin, you're going to disobey me, fine. I will not bless you anymore. I just go over here, work with these people here. And you realize, I'm cursed. It's not working. And you try to find out what it is. It's very simple. You break God's commandments. He cannot bless you. Now, we're not going to be sinless. But you ask God for forgiveness when you do it. But you don't perpetually break his commandments. Let me get down to the last page. When Joshua passed, let me take it to chapter 23 of Joshua. We pick it up in verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies, round about that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for the elders, and for the heads, and for the judges, and for the officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all this nation because of you. For the Lord your God is he that fought for you. Then he goes on down there and tells them what they need to do. Verse 6, be therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from the right hand or to the left, that you come not among this nation, that they remain among you, neither make mention of the name of the gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourself down unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. Let me speak to some of you that are parents and older. You started out as a young man and a woman, having children, started your family. And life was a struggle. You didn't take it too serious. And you took the children to Sunday school and so on. They grew older. And some of them departed from the Lord. And suddenly you realize, as you look now upon your children and grandchildren, they're not walking with God. They're living a sinful life. Divorcing, shacking up, having children out of wedlock. I mean, if you look in America, it's a mess. And you ask yourself this, but I started out well. I had good intentions. What happened? How did it happen? Here's what happened. You did not cleanse the land. You did not have the knowledge. You didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You were never baptized in the Holy Spirit. You didn't take the Word of God serious. You didn't tithe all the time. You did other things that you simply couldn't care about. And you let it slip. And you did not educate your children. You sent them to public schools. You might have had the money for it. But think about this. I tell people today. You send your children to public schools where they teach evolution, sexual perversion, homosexuality. You're saying to your children and saying, hey, devil, educate my child. And then you wonder what happened to your child. Amen. This is exactly what happened to Israel. They didn't take God serious. They didn't take their children and said, now, we're going to have you educating the Lord. We're going to make sure that you know the Lord. Amen. They were busy with their businesses, doing other things. Children just let them go and run. Joshua, a good man, he left a land that turned into anarchy. sad. Let me take it to Judges chapter 2. Have you picked it up here in verse number 6? And when Joshua let the people go, the children of Israel went every man with his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that they did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generation were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The third generation did not know God. The generation born after 1990 and on do not know God. They turn into socialism. They turn into Bernie Sanders as a savior, a fake, a multimillionaire, a Jewish fake that is trying to be a socialist, spending everybody's money except his own and having a good time. Why did it happen? I wrote a book called Bitter Fruit, Kabbalah Book 8. I try to have people to read it. I'm not interested in it. I showed them education. Education is the key to success or destruction. And the children of Israel did even incite the Lord, and they served Balaam. How could a generation, three generations after Joshua, go and serve the demon gods of the Canaanites? Forgot everything. They didn't even know what happened in Egypt. They didn't know the miracles. They knew nothing. They were uneducated idiots because their parents were too busy with whatever they were doing and did not educate them. My parents sent me to Sunday school but did not go to church with me. I drifted out into the world. I was out in the world for 10 years or plus. Did a lot of bad stuff. Hurt myself and others. All for nothing. Because my parents failed to educate me, take a hold on me, and show me the right way. They were too busy. Both of them worked. Didn't have time. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt. Followed all the gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed himself unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered into the hands of the spoilers. They spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of the enemies. Run about that they could not longer stand before their enemies. We fighting hard. We fought so hard. We prayed for this last election. We know what will happen if we lose the next election. There's not going to be any reprieve. The judgment is going to fall. Look upon this nation this year, just this year. The East, the South, and the Midwest. One disaster after the other. This last week, a snowstorm that no one expected. Seven states, lot of misery, hurricanes, floods, out here, fires, smoke. We've been judged. God is saying, look, I'm taking away your comfort level. I'm taking it away. Are you turning? Are you turning? And we are simply saying, well, what can we do? You and I can begin to pray. We can change a lot. First of all, make sure that you are lined up with the Word of God. Are you following God's commandments? Are you a tither? Are you praying? Do you have a prayer life? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you a sloppy Joe? Let me take you to the last chapter of Judges. If you read from verse number 24. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel, no central leadership. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Anarchy. What do you think God thought? Here God had taken Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. He took them out of Egypt. He fed them manna, flesh for 40 years in the wilderness. Did miracles for Joshua. Came into the promised land. And they flopped. And they lost the land. And here they were. Slaves again. The losses are terrible over the years. God had to pick up the pieces. We were to go to King David. King Solomon. Lost it again. Kings came and king went. And then Jesus came. And what did they do with Jesus? They said, we don't want him. Crucify him. Away with him. And today, God is still saying, whosoever wants to come, whosoever from whatever nation you are, come and be saved. Today I will forgive you. Today I will save you. I will hold you. I will do you good. How many people are coming to Christ today? Very few. You know, we've been praying for Aunt Helen. And I thought about that. This woman probably hurt her knees, her sister Christians, come from a Christian family. She had nothing to do with God. On the last leg of her life, one foot to the grave, one foot to the other banana peel, and still don't want to pray. That's how hard Satan gets people. He hardens them. What they simply don't understand, there's destruction. And we need to cry out, please, take heed. Eternity is coming. You're going to end life on this. You're not going to stay here forever. Have you made peace with God? There's only one solution. Turn back to God and repent. I want to read from Hosea chapter 4. And these are verses I want to burn into you today. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Because there's no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. Everyone that dwells therein shall languish with the beasts of the fields and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another for your people, or as a strive with a priest. Therefore shall you fall in the day, and the prophet shall fall with you in the night. I'll destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you, that you should be no priest to me, seeing you forgot the law of your God. I will also forget your children. This ministry is an educational ministry. I've written a lot of sermons. I have written a number of books, pamphlets. We just got out with a new book, The God of the Old Testament. Videos. My job is to educate, wake up. I'm having young people, older people here. I'm training them, teaching them, trying to raise up another generation. You know, the cyber members, I want to involve you. I want you to get further involved and to do something in your community, not just to watch every Sunday, but to do something about it, to clean out the demons in your own life. Possess the promised land. Get rid of the demons. Don't keep status quo. But you know, it's like hitting a brick wall. Everybody says, yeah, that's good preaching. Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff. But why not change? If you wake up in the morning, you go into the bathroom, and your hair is all over the place, you look like you don't come and help me. And you say, okay, I need to help myself. I need to shave. I need to clean my face up. And you walk out to the bathroom, get dressed, and walk out to go to work. What good did the mirror do? You look like, you know, a bum. Or a bum in, if you're a woman. I just made that word up. We need to do something. We hear the truth. Act upon it. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, you listen to me today. Here's what I want you to do. Cry out, God, convict now my sins. God, I'm not sure that I'm a sinner, but convict me. I need to be saved. I don't feel like you're close to me. God, reveal yourself to me. I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to confess he died on the cross, rose on the third day. I'm going to confess he died for my sins. Jesus, come on in. Save me. Save me, Jesus. You pray that prayer and he will. Then Pastor Charles Terrell will come. You will not see him, but you will hear him. He will lead in the prayer and help you to find Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. And after you accept Christ, call us, write us, let us know. And to those of you that are Christians, will you make a certain commitment today? Will you say, I'm going to examine my life. I'm going to see where I am at. And if there's something in my life I need to correct, show me, Lord, so I can repent. And be fully welcome with you in obedience. I pray that you will do that today. In Jesus' name. And here is Brother Thomas to close our service today.
Father God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Doesn't paint a pretty picture sometimes, that's for sure. And we just ask your blessing upon this country. I know it's a wicked country. So we thank you for leading your people. The situation looks grim to me. As I was in Butte County where the fire was yesterday, there was a sign on the freeway that said Butte Strong, and I scoffed at that, because I didn't see any repentance up there, and I saw a lot of people just scattered. So that's in the fire area. So we thank you for the word. We know it's the truth. And we thank you for salvation. And next week we're coming into Thanksgiving. It is Thanksgiving week next week. And for me, it's not Turkey Day. That's hogwash. But it is, I have Thanksgiving every day. But we thank you for this day that's set aside for the nation to be thankful. And hopefully it will be on that day. And I thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you. but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 13th part in the series, The Destiny of Humanity, and was entitled, Victory to Anarchy. God intended for Abraham and his descendants to live in Canaan, and Satan immediately set out to derail the Lord's plan for the Promised Land by sending hordes of evil spirits to corrupt the people through idol worship and debauchery. God allotted a certain amount of grace, nearly 600 years, until the Israelites invaded, and Joshua was instructed to kill every demon-possessed man, woman, and child in Canaan. The Israelites did not understand that when they cleared the land, the dispossessed evil spirits from the dead Canaanites began to seek new humans to corrupt and destroy. Achan was the first to be contaminated at Jericho, and the Lord dealt harshly with him and his family. We don't know why God did not select another strong leader to take over after Joshua died, and the Israelites became decentralized, with each tribe setting up its own government system. The third generation after Joshua became idol worshippers because groups of pagans were left intact, and through their evil influence became disillusioned with the Lord. The move of God ended in anarchy, as every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1678. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.